length album, Dance Called Memory. Nation of Language shifts inspiration from Kraftwerk to the Brian Eno School of Thought for their new album. Opening the show are Greet Death and DJ Jake Rude. More information about Nation of Language can be found at first-avenue.com.
Support for KFAI comes from the Red Sea, presenting Space Cadets, Friday, September 26th. Space Cadets is a showcase cabaret of DJs and musicians, featuring live performances from Fanaka Nation, 2-for-1, Jada Brown, and Isabella Lopez. Plus, DJs Chico Chi and Talia Knight will be spinning tunes all through the night. The Red Sea is located at 320 Cedar Avenue South in the Riverside neighborhood of Minneapolis.
It's drive time.
Awesome, let's go.
You got it. Grab your credit card and I'll log on to KFAI.org.
What do you mean? You said it was drive time.
It is. KFAI Fall Membership Drive Time.
But I thought we were going somewhere.
Are you kidding? KFAI's blend of music from around the world will take us farther, further, and faster than any car, plane, train, or rocket.
So we just go to KFAI.org?
Yep. Click donate and fill in the online form. It's that easy.
Anything else we need to do?
Buckle up, baby!
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Bonjour, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem. Today we're revisiting our chat with Gordon Coons, enrolled member of the Lacouture tribe in northern Wisconsin. Gordon is a painter, printmaker, and fumage artist. And we talked with Gordon about his artistic career and pivotal points in his life that informed his work. So please enjoy our conversation with Gordon Coons from September 2024.
We have stories for everything. We don't paint a tree just because a tree is pretty. A tree has some meaning behind it. So we call it Gijibajanomen. We tell stories. So that's what we're doing. We're expressing, as Native artists, stories that we want to bring out to people. And there's different ways of doing it, and they have different types of expression, whether it's jewelry, pottery, or basket.
Bonjour, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Cole Primo. Meet Gwaits for joining us today. Native Lights is more than a podcast and radio show. At its core, it's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Each and every week, we have captivating conversations with great guests from a whole lot of different backgrounds. We're talking musicians, artists, community leaders, doctors, educators, language warriors, you name it. They all have this wonderful mixture of passions, each and every one of them. So we talk to them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And it centers around finding purpose in our lives and amplifying Native voices. Leah, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing great. You know, a lot of stuff's going on. Back to school, getting back into the groove.
Oh, yeah.
And just the seasonal allergies. That's about it.
Yeah, we were talking before this. We both have the allergies going on. Well, I have allergies going on basically all year, but it's just a little amplified right now. I did have a question though. Do you like the fall season? Is it one of your favorite seasons?
I am a big fan of fall. I think It's the colors for me. It's the angle of the sun and the earth and the shadows. It's like the most beautiful time of year. It's nothing better than that.
Well, I also enjoy the season, but at the same time, it's foreshadowing what's to come, which is winter. And I'm not the biggest fan, but at the same time, the seasons are a great thing to experience and they give you perspective and all that. We're actually planning on putting up a bunch of decorations. It's our first time having, you know, Halloween in the neighborhood and there's going to be kids running around and know it.
Because it's the first year that you're in a home that you've purchased.
Yeah, exactly. And we're thinking of trying to make it kind of spooky, put some dry ice machine, fog machine. I don't know. We'll see. Some spooky music. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. I haven't done that before, so We'll see how it goes.
Oh, that's lovely. A chance to be creative.
There you go. But speaking of the colorful season that we are in, artist that we're talking to today has amazing, colorful art, you know, inspired by his Anishinaabe heritage. Very excited today to speak with Gordon Coons, an enrolled member of Lakota Ray tribe in northern Wisconsin. He now lives in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He is mostly self-taught as an artist. He's an award-winning painter, printer, and fumage artist. And if you're curious about that last thing, it's smoke art. And he uses burning cedar for that. And I can't wait to ask him about that. And yeah, he says he draws inspiration from his Anishinaabe heritage, as I spoke of earlier, and the natural surroundings of the Great Lakes region. And to talk about his work, you know, it's really diverse, Leah, right?
Yeah. If you go to his website, you can see it all laid out there. But he's got these colorful woodland style acrylic paintings that have those heavy borders. And then he's got his fumage art. Kind of reminds me of like shadow figures. It's really hard to describe, but kind of like heavy shadows or variation of shadows on paper. Really interesting to check out. And of course, he does block prints, but the styles he does, I mean, he's testing the bounds of art.
Yeah, he's taken that art and brought it across the country, and we can't wait to dig into all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is.
Bonjour.
Anine.
Bonjour, Gordon. Could you please start out by introducing yourself?
I'm a member of the Ojibwa, northern Wisconsin, Lakota Ray is the reservation I'm from. My brothers live up there. I grew up there as a younger child, and now I live in Minneapolis. Took the path later on as I got older to create art and sell art. As we were growing up on the reservation, I was watching my aunts do beading and things like that and make moccasins. I like the graphical designs. So I bring my culture to the broader audience, you know, the Western world, as they would call it. So I travel around the U.S. to different Native American art shows and other art shows that I could do. I paint in acrylics in the woodland art style, clan stories, you know, came from etchings and rocks and birch bark scroll stories, and I put those together with bright colors. I started out my art career doing relief prints. So I do those by hand. I don't use a machine to do them. So mine end up, actually the paper gets heavy because I use oil as my ink. And then as I try a variety of media, I have done using duct tape, which is really enjoyable to look at, I think.
Can you tell me about some of the things you're doing nowadays and exhibits you're working on?
So I curate shows. I usually have a group from the reservation I'm from, and I have traveling shows with them. Our biggest event we had at the Dakota Discovery Museum in Mitchell, South Dakota. We were there for one summer. I just finished a promotional curial exhibit at the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. I had pop-up vendors come. I had the Indian Arts Craft Board come out and educate people with brochures and handles on what is Native American art, how to buy authentic Native art. I just got back from University of Nebraska in Lincoln, Nebraska. It was their fifth show of contemporary indigeneity exhibit. And they had 25 indigenous artists over there. And then I just finished I call them a make and take, where people who are visitors come in and I have a 6x6 inch block print. I use water-based inks. I have 10x10 inches piece of paper, and they make a print to one of my block prints. I have 7 block prints. Then they get to take it home. And then August 21st to the March 2nd in 2025, I have an exhibit at the Minnesota Marine Art Museum. It's called A Nation Takes Place, a show with just a few Native artists, but a lot of them are, because it's about water, they're talking about time period of slave trade, and they're talking about boats bringing people across the ocean. So there's a lot of BIPOC artists in the show.
Awesome, awesome. We can't wait to get into some of the projects you're working in. But we also, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, we'd like to ask, you know, how are you doing? How's your family doing?
Oh, good. I'm old enough. My kids are growing up. I use my daughter's bedroom as my studio, so I got a small studio. So every time anybody comes over and visits, I have to give them a shoehorn so they can get in and get out. I've been doing good. I travel around. I had a couple, you know, as you get older, your little body starts falling apart. So I had some medical things I had to take care of. So I had to take, not consecutively, but I had to take 3 years out off my art business, if you want to call it that. And so I'm back in it. I've been to Santa Fe Indian Market Two of my cedar smoke images got best in show for all prints, which was really nice. Takes me 3 weeks to get there. Because I do as a travel. That's a lot of work. You got to get up early in the morning to get your booth going and all that.
So, Gordon, is there anything that you're thinking about these days that might be inspiring to you?
I think the best part about doing these art shows is sometimes you meet old friends, and other times you meet new friends, and you talk to each other, and what's happening. When you do that, you get new ideas. You don't want to completely copy somebody's work, but they give you another path that you can do an expression of it. It's kind of fun, you know, to see and talk to them and joke around, you know. Little story. What I do is you know, when I sit and talk about my image, and then you listen to the visitors, what the response is to your image, and that kind of gives you another idea of what else you can do. So I've been doing this like selling artwork for like 30 years. The problem with that is you meet so many people that I usually say I get a 50% of remembering your name. I'm really bad at that.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Gordon Coons, painter, printmaker, and fumage artist. Gordon's also an enrolled member of the Lac-Couturier tribe in northern Wisconsin.
Let's take a little step back. Like, what got you into what you do? What led you down the road you're on? All these exhibits across the country, what led you down the path?
Well, I started out, you know, like a growing up on the reservation. I watched my aunts, and mostly my aunts do the beading. I like one of them would make moccasins. And I enjoyed that graphical design looking at. So I would, myself and other ones would make things and we'd give them away. So it was that kind of an enjoyment that you had doing those things. You know, you're creating something. You're bringing you didn't realize it. You're learning your culture and you're expressing your culture. Well, what happened then was, you know, as you get older, you moved a little bit away from that. You got to get a job. You got to raise kids. And then I always collected Native arts and other arts. And then I would buy them Native magazines and read about them. And I finally, a magazine, I read an article about selling block prints. And I enjoyed that when I went to high school, how to make block prints. And I said, heck, I can do that. So I started doing that. My first show that I went to, I had a museum exhibit at Lawrence, Kansas. And they have a university down there. And during the university exhibit, I sold my three images. I thought, wow, this is great. So I went on with the next day was the market, didn't sell anything. And I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I should go to another path. You know, I didn't know at the time. So I scheduled to go to Bismarck, North Dakota. I went to Bismarck, North Dakota, sold a lot of images, enough to make me happy. And so I've been selling, doing that type of work ever since. So I've been doing this about 30 years. And it's very enjoyable. It is hard work. You do hear about that starving artist. So there's a little bit of that going on. Sometimes you ride the roller coaster. Sometimes you do real good. And other times you have to not do as well, but you got to stay at it.
So when I imagine making block prints, I feel like it's part sculpture a little bit into the linoleum that you're using and then stamp it on. It's probably the wrong word to use, I'm sure. You know, transfer the ink over or the oil over. And then it's kind of like a progression. And then you kind of keep sculpting and transferring.
You know, I enjoy that graphical look and block prints give me that. And what I use is I use linoleum. And they call it battleship gray linoleum. So I buy after a while you buy bigger sheets of it, right, to keep your cost down. So I had these sheets and they can be, I've done some block prints for 36 inches by 36 and 30 by 50, you know, so they get kind of big. A lot of the others were probably 12 by 12, 18 inch by 18. The name, again, is Battleship Gray Linoleum. So it was used on probably battleships that they would walk on, so be quiet, right? So it's a softer material. So you can cut it. You have to do these things backwards, right? You come up with a design, but you have to create them backwards. My wife tells me it's a lot of the way I think about things. So that's kind of enjoy the block prints, because you're doing things backwards. I say that my number's backwards. I'll go like 3, 2, 1 instead of 1, 2, 3, stuff like that, you know. So I'm always looking at stuff and figuring how they're built like that. And you have to design something backwards, which is fun to go through that. So I started out using oil-based inks. You just put your first design down, you ink the block. And what I do is I lay the paper on top. And then I have these little round, they're called spoons, but they're more of a flat Teflon disc, and I rub the back of it, pick up the paper by hand, and that transfers the ink to the paper. Well, then that dries, and then you clean your block and you cut your next, would be your next color, and you ink that block, you lay that paper in the same position. So the negative space is not covered by the next rubbing. So that's the layering effect. And the relief process is, as you go through that process, you're removing your blocks. So by the time you get done with all these different steps of coloring, your block is completely gone. So it's relief printing. You have a block. And if you were to make that same design, you would have to redo the whole thing. Start from the solid black background and then move on to the next color. It's kind of a one-time shot. When I first started doing these, until I figure out how to register, they call it register your image. Now I keep my images down to 10 to 20 images. I don't do them anymore now because it's a lot, you know, as you progress, it's a lot of extra prints you have. I would do them before I'd have like 29, 27. One time I did 54 of them. And I end up with an odd number because you end up dropping a piece of paper or you tip, end up tearing the paper. So you always end up with I always end up with an oddball size at the end of my series in editions. I got better at that. And in that process, I reduced the number of images I make. Because there are some rules out there that you go to the Native American shows, you can't have more than 50 prints in a series. You know, they got to be signed. So you got to have original work. You know, you don't go out and crank out like with a machine and make 250 or something. I enjoy that on hands work. One time I entered a show, and because of the thickness of the ink that I had on my paper, they thought it was a painting, so they moved it from the print class to the painting class. That's only based on the fact that the judges didn't have enough experience at the time, what they were looking at. But if you look at a lot of postcards, if just black and white, the words are black that you get to read. So that would be the first color you put down. Then you'd want those words to come out and a design. So you cut out where you want the words and then you print on top white. So that's how you would make a postcard if you want to do that process. So it is a sculpting. It gives you that texture. I mean, there's when they do these presses, you know, they got to how many thousands of pounds they come off them. That's why they make it so flat. My pictures look more lively than a flat mass produced through like a postcard. You know, there's texture to it. You actually could feel it.
Mm-hmm. And do you think there's a natural progression then from the block prints into your acrylic paintings in the Woodlands art style?
Well, I like that idea because the Woodlands art style, again, comes from etchings of rock, first girl stories put together. I don't paint any like portraits, 3D facial graduation of skin tissue. My skin would look all one solid color. So like when I was first starting out, when I made these oil prints, they got so high, they're like a topographical map. You can see the bumps on them. I didn't have any real good framing. So when I'd slide the glass across the picture as I made it, you could hear it cutting off the tops of my mountains in my picture. And I said, well, this ain't going to work because I end up with a bunch of little dots at the bottom. It's all like cut off ink. So now I make my own frames. And there's a bunch of stuff you learn. I think the most important thing about what I do is it just happens to work out. Everything is designed on size of glass. Once you have size of glass associated to your image, if you're going to cover under glass, everything else seems to fit. If you're going to use mat boards or whatever, you'll end up with extra pieces and you'll just make something smaller. It's a small progression, but you don't realize until after you've been doing this a while, there's things you can continue on with something. You don't have to waste as much stuff, whether it's paper or even glass. I also do cedar smoke images in that graphical design. So I have cedar, I light it. I have to do it outside and it goes to design. So the blocks I use to do the design, create my images, I use the negative space for my blocks to do it. So it's the same process. I can handle that type of design.
I was looking through your website, gordoncoons.com. One of the images that really striking to me was this dancing with raven spirit, cedar smoke.
Oh yeah, that's cedar smoke.
Could you talk a little bit about that? I mean, it's beautiful.
What it is, again, is the negative space that I smoke through. So when I start out with all my smoke images, I go from darkest to lightest. There's one image that got, like I said, that would say the best in division for prints in Santa Fe, but it has seven separate smokings on it from darkest to lightest. So dark first, and then whatever's lightest. So the last smoke that I transfer would be the background. I'm always, when I'm thinking about what, why do I want to do this and why do I want to express on it, but the one that you just described is, I'm thinking of a person dancing behind him. He's incorporated kind of inside a raven. So he's dancing, and the raven, because he's a messenger, he's taking prayers from the Ojibwe person dancing, and he's carrying it up to the rounded moon up there, you'll see. That's kind of what my concept of that. So I do those kind of things. That one that you're probably looking at is more, I'm going to call it more fuzzy on the side. And now I got a little more crisper line, because, you know, as you develop, you want to have something that's a little bit more not as open. Some people say, well, you should still do that. I don't know if I care for that as much. I sell a lot. And by the time they look at something, because it's all similar, and a lot of people say, well, I need something this high, I need something this wide. Then I'll go and talk to them, and we'll create something for them. So I do that.
Do you still incorporate gold?
Yeah. I use gold for the sun, which is grandfather. So anytime I want to have grandfather images, I'll use gold leaf. So it's 24 karat gold leaf. What I'll have to do is, when I make my smoke images, I'll have to cover that so that the smoke won't go into it. What I do is I put the gold down first, and then I use silver leaf or copper leaf for grandmother, the moon. So again, I'll have to cover that up. And I sometimes combine both a grandfather and grandmother, and I call that image grandfather, grandmother. I have some eclipse pictures. I think about celestial movement, how that carried us through in our life. You know, we predict our last frost, first frost, celebrations. Celestial events gave us how to live in the world. And that's kind of what I want to bring out, those stories through my images.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Gordon Coons, painter, printmaker, and fumage artist. Gordon's also an enrolled member of the Lac-Couturier tribe in northern Wisconsin.
You were talking about the raven spirit smoke art, what it's portraying. Could you talk more about just the philosophy behind your art?
I think it's such a fine line to be too spiritual. And I just want to bring the idea of what our heritage is and how we treated nature. I mean, we have stories for everything. We don't paint a tree just because a tree is pretty. Tree has some meaning behind it. So we call it Gijibajanomen. We tell stories. So that's what we're doing. We're expressing, as Native artists, stories that we want to bring out to people. And there's different ways of doing it, and they have different types of expression. You know, there's, whether it's jewelry, pottery, or basket, there's historical reference back to those images that we create. So that's kind of what I try to bring out, is these stories. You know, I'll just basically repeat them, and they're just different ways of expressing that same concept. When I first started using gold leaf, I did it first with gold leaf. It's so fine. It's such a fine material to use. If you buy original gold leaf, it's only, you know, like 3 3/8 inches. So you got to design how you're going to use that piece of gold. And there's sheets that you buy, and there's 25 to I don't know what they call it, a book. And then they go, there's like 20, 25 again in a box. So depending on how much you buy, so it can get expensive. And you got to calculate how many sheets you're going to need. So when I first did it, the only place that was real quiet with no air movement was on my kitchen table. So my kitchen table ended up getting real expensive, because there's flecks of gold all over on it. And then one time I was going to the Bismarck Native Art Festival, art market they had out there, and I knew I wanted to bring this image, and it had to do with the Pajada Butte. Sunrise would come in, which is a spiral on the south side of the mountain. There's a three rocks. It's called the Golden Dagger, and that's what pulled me in. So I made this sunrise coming on Pajada Butte. It's just a band of gold, you know, that you would see the sunrise on a butte. I was going to make a lot of them, so I made 16 of them, and I had 4 done, because I had to, again, go through the stages of them. and I was going to come back and finish the other 12 images. Well, when I returned home, I looked at the paper, and you know how paper does when it gets wet, it gets fuzzy. And I thought, what the heck happened? And it's laying on this, it's laying on these shelves. And I looked on the ground, there's a bunch of dead bees. And what they did was they came in and ate that gold. Because I used egg to adhere the gold, because I was trying to figure out how did they put gold on frescoes way back when. So they used a mixture of egg. You puncture that sack, the egg yolk comes out, and I use that to brush onto my paper. That dries, gets really tacky, and then the gold sticks to it. So I have this paper that has egg yolk on it, gold down, bees came in, they ate it all. It was like somebody took a finger and rubbed on all of where I had all the gold. So now I use an adhesive, you know, man-made adhesive, so I don't have the issue anymore.
I didn't realize bees like to eat egg.
I was surprised, but that there was only gold and egg, and that was it. And I haven't had a bee problem since. So I figured it must have been the egg.
And I got to ask for your smoke art. Like, where do you do that?
When I was first doing them, I make frames in my garage. So I had to do this outside. So I wouldn't want to do it in-house. My wife wouldn't want to do it in-house. So I drag a garden hose to my garage. I have a bucket of water. And I have a wet rag, so if anything catches on fire, I can put it out right away. And if my neighbors are outside, I tell them I'm doing some smoking in it because it comes out. So I have a form that sits on a table I have in my garage that holds the paper, and I have cedar stick that I light below. I did my first one real slow. My second one a little faster, and then I did my third one real fast because I thought I knew what I was doing. I set my third one on fire. I was surprised how hot that paper got. You know, because you have to watch the paper, your design, and you're going to watch the flame and the smoke going. So you're balancing all these things. And what I'm doing is if you were to hold a pencil in your hands, like I have small cedar sticks and I have big wide ones. If you hold a pencil, you bring it in. It's a smaller smoke. And then you can cut it a little bit straighter in the line. And then when they get bigger, I just bring them in a little bit back and forth, just like they're swinging. And that makes the fills the rest of the gap. Like I said, I start out the darkest color first, and I have to really take my time to make sure that gets saturated without wanting to set my paper on fire. I still set them on fire, but not as, you know, my fires are a lot smaller than they used to be. And they are the same design, but each one is different because you can't control the smoke as much, but you can control the darkness too, but you can't control the variations of the lightness. And the paper I use is called, paper is called Anagoni. And it's a famous artist in Italy. And they make these big sheets over there. And they're not like poster paper, but it's a little bit better quality, heavier art paper. So I get these big sheets that I have to order. You have to order them by the ream. And then I cut them down to the size I need. And then I just came across some paper, this stationary size paper, it's kind of big size. Legal pad, maybe we would call it, the size-wise, stationery that's used by the Vatican. It's really soft. It's like a felt blanket. And that also absorbs the smoke right away. And then I put my designs on that, the smaller pictures.
Are you experimenting, Gordon, with anything new recently?
I do duct tape images. I talked to you before, I do that duct tape. I use moon hubcaps. I don't know if you know those are for old cars, right? The rounded circular, kind of like a moon, assemblage of stuff on there. I call it Mock with a Healer, but I put like for his nose, his facial part, I'd use like a measuring cup, his mouth, I'd have round, and I would use a silicone spoon for like his tongue. So it looks a lot like the Rolling Stones with that red one where he's sticking his tongue out. And then I use bullet casings on the top, and I put deer hair in, a different color deer hair. So he's got a mohawk on the top.
Right, artist Gordon Koons. Just a fantastic artist. Like, so varied.
Exactly. All the different endeavors.
Beautiful.
Love it. Mm-hmm. I encourage people to check out his work, gordonkoons.com. Yeah, I love the mission of sharing the heritage and all. And
yeah.
So, miigwech to our guest, Gordon Koons, a painter, a printmaker, and fumage artist who is an enrolled member of the Lac Couturier tribe in northern Wisconsin, who lives now in Minneapolis. I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Mi great for listening. Giga Wabamin.
Giga Wabamin.
You're listening to